Hello, everybody, and welcome to the NFL Power Hour. You are listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. I am your host, William Power. I am with my co-host, Dominic DeMeester. And today we will be talking to you about all things NFL, NFL recap, week 12 predictions, Super Bowl predictions, and the playoff picture as it is today. So, Dominic, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Awesome. I'm doing really good. I think it's pretty cool. I know I always get excited around this time of year, excited for the American Thanksgiving, and that we got three games on Thursday. What are your thoughts on the Thanksgiving games this weekend?
Oh, this Thanksgiving game should be a doozy. We got our good old Detroit coming in Detroit against Houston. They're always they're the Thanksgiving team, as we all know. We got the Washington and Dallas. That should be a good divisional game. And then the hard-nosed Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. So that's going to be exciting.
Definitely. No, I'm super, super excited about that. Always like to watch those Dallas Cowboys and those Lions play on the Thanksgiving Day games. So let's do a quick recap of what happened in Week 11. So in Week 11, I see we saw quite a few upsets. The one thing that caught my eye in Week 11 was the Colts' victory over the Packers. So I picked the Packers in this game, and the Packers were favored. That was a really good game. It was one of, honestly, the best games of the weekend. The game ended up going to overtime. The Colts won 34-31 on a field goal. And I think, look, the Colts played really clutch in this game. They took a few dumb penalties in the fourth quarter, but Phillip Rivers got the ball to start overtime, and he made no mistake. And the Colts went down and got the game-winning field goal. So right now that leaves the Colts at 7-3, and they are leading the AFC South, tied with the Tennessee Titans. But honestly, my team of the week for the Week 11 is the Colts. I'm super impressed that they were able to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, William. I think that Phillip Rivers coming out and throwing for 288 yards, three touchdowns, and one interception really set the tone for a nice little comeback against the Packers. I think the Packers really, unfortunately, killed themselves here. Aaron Rodgers was leading the way. We had a great first touchdown by Davante Adams, but things just started to fall apart. Fumbles were a big issue for Green Bay. And, you know, Phillip Rivers, at the end of the day, he's eyeing that Super Bowl. He hasn't been there in his career. He's with a great team. I think this is a great team effort victory from the Colts. And Frank Wright, moving forward, has this team playing in the right direction.
Definitely. I have to agree with you on all accounts there. I think Phillip Rivers definitely deserves a trip to the Super Bowl. I think the poor guy's been hard done by, you know, going from the Chargers and now to the Colts. And I don't think there was too high expectations for this team. But look, he's leading the Colts in the right direction at 7-3. Another game I'm going to jump to was the game of the week, the Sunday night game, as good as advertised, Kansas City Chiefs over the Las Vegas Raiders, 35-31. And honestly, what's incredible about this game is you knew when Vegas took the lead, and there was, I think there was about a minute 30 left on the clock when the Chiefs got the ball back. It was kind of like Brady in the fourth, right? Like you don't want to leave time for Brady, and like you know he's going to come down and score. And Mahomes just, I don't know, he made it look effortless. It was that last drive, they had like a timeout. It was like a hot knife through butter. And I mean, right now these Kansas City Chiefs are like a Madden team. I feel like the only way to beat them is to keep Mahomes off the field, is to try and grind the clock. I think Vegas did everything right in this game, but unfortunately it came up short. And I think that the duo with Mahomes and Kelce and Hill, you got the best tight end in the league and quarterback on the same team. You got arguably the fastest player in the NFL on your team in Tyreek Hill. I think this is going to be a tough out for the Chiefs, but the Raiders did beat them earlier in the year, and they only lost by 4 in that Sunday night game. So that was the game that caught my attention. What were your thoughts about that game?
Well, as you said, Patrick Mahomes, you know, is the quarterback in the NFL. I don't think anybody come close to Patrick Mahomes' skills at this present time. And if it wasn't for him, clearly the Kansas City Chiefs would have lost this game. I think Derek Carr came out swinging, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns. John Gruden had this team prepared, well prepared. They were driving down the field many times. Nelson Aguilar seems to be Derek Carr's go-to receiver in terms of the end zone. We have Darren Waller as being the premium tight end for the team, but at wide receiver, It has take a time. It took a time for Derek Carr to really settle in with somebody he was comfortable with, and that one seems to be Nelson Aguilar. For the Kansas City Chiefs, if they hadn't run Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second half, I believe that this could have been an Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders victory. However, they established the run in the second half, which opened up the passing game. We saw good old Kelce coming in, getting a big touchdown, and they deserved it. At the end of the day, they left too much time on the clock, the Raiders did, gave enough time to Patrick Mahomes to do what he does best, which is come from behind to give the Chiefs the victory.
Yeah, 100%. I think, Dom, you said it perfectly there. Mahomes is the QB of the NFL right now. He is really the face of the NFL. If there's one guy, it'd be definitely Patrick Mahomes. Another game I'm going to talk about is the game from last night. The Los Angeles Rams going into Tampa Bay and upsetting the Buccaneers 27-24. So not only did I have Tampa Bay winning this game, but I didn't think it would be all that close when it was. I think it was a tie game at half. I said, okay, like the Rams are doing good. They're hanging in there. I said, okay, the Brady and the Bucks are going to pull away. Not only did they not pull away, but Tom Brady finished 26 of 48 for 216 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions. The last interception was the killer. That was the dagger. The Rams ended up kicking the ball back, and then basically Tampa Bay had no time. But Brady wasn't clutch in this game, and to be honest, Jared Goff wasn't that clutch either. He was making some mistakes. But credit this Rams defense. They gave up, quite a few completions, 26, but they were limiting the yards. I felt like they bent, but they didn't break. Ronald Jones had 10 carries for 24 yards. Leonard Fournette, 7 carries for 17 yards. So they each averaged 2.4 yards per carry. And obviously, that's not going to get it done in the NFL. But right now, the Rams are 7-3, and they're tied in the NFC West with the Seattle Seahawks. And this, I don't know what to make of this Rams team because I know we had talked about it, like in our downtime, that you were never the biggest Jared Goff fan. And to be honest, I'm not either. I felt like he was not good in the fourth quarter. But if you, like, I'm pulling up his numbers here. He went 39 of 51, 376 yards, three touchdowns, two picks. Obviously, that's not great. But in terms of his receivers, Cooper Kupp had 11 catches. Robert Woods had 12 catches, 145 yards for Kupp, 130 for Woods. So, I mean, the thing is, if this Rams offense is playing well, they're hard to beat because their defense is top five, and I think this defense doesn't have a bad game. But it's honestly, this Rams team relies solely on Jared Goff. So, what were your impressions of the game? Honestly, I was surprised the Rams came up and won that game.
Well, I knew it was going to be a dogfight. These are two good teams. Both of them should be actually in the playoffs, in my opinion. And what it came down to is Tom Brady, unfortunately, wasn't the Tom Brady that we're expected to see, which is someone who comes from behind, takes his team down the field. And unfortunately, this time around, he threw an interception. I mean, he's only human. But I still believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have not established themselves yet. In terms of their identity, I still believe that this team, with the addition of Antonio Brown, they're trying to figure out what's going to work. And in this team, if you look at it, they've only ran the ball 18 times. They weren't really successful running the ball, but they threw, pretty much across the board. You had 13 targets going to Brown, 10 targets going to Goodwin. But yet, this team has really been in the past Mike Evans' team. And I still believe that Tom Brady and Mike Evans are just not on the same page. And that is, unfortunately, the undoing currently. Because if you can get Mike Evans and Tom Brady to throw the deep ball, I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a Super Bowl contender. But yet, if that combination is not going to be established, I believe that that's going to be the Buccaneers undoing coming in the playoff times. So, credit to the Rams. Jared Goff, as we've discussed, I'm not a big fan. I mean, he did pass for 376 yards. I credit Sean McVay's play calling in this game for Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, both having stellar games. So, you have to give credit where credit's due, and the Rams deserve to win that game.
Definitely. Honestly, I think you said it well. I think like McVay had a big part to play in that game. And on it, not to toot my own horn, but when Cooper Kupp came into the league, I was a huge fan of his. He came from an unknown college, and you know, when he joined the Rams, I thought it was the perfect fit. And honestly, I love watching this guy play. I feel like I don't know, the thing with Cooper Kupp is not, he's not like a spectacular player, and he won't make these one-handed catches. He's not OBJ, he's not DeAndre Hopkins, but he's always the guy that's going to move the chains, him and Woods. And I just feel like Kupp has shown he could be that wide receiver number one for the Rams, and I'm super pumped for him. Unfortunately, I got to talk about my Miami Dolphins here, and they ended up laying an egg, losing 20-13 to the Denver Broncos. Tua actually got pulled in the fourth quarter of that game. Fitzpatrick came in, played pretty well, actually. He led Miami to a field goal. Then he got the ball at his own one. He led Miami all the way down to the red zone, and he threw a pick, which is what has been his Achilles heel for his entire career in the NFL. As a Dolphins fan, I think I'm okay with Coach Flores taking out Tua. I know a lot of other Dolphins fans are saying, well, you wanna show Tua that you bought in, and that, like, no matter what happens, he's your quarterback. But I don't think that's what Flores is going away from here. I think he's saying, look, Miami's in the heat of the playoff race right now. Right now they're tied for the seventh seed, but they're on the outside looking in. And I think putting in Fitzpatrick gave Miami the best chance to win that game. I mean, Fitzpatrick came in, like I said, he got the offense rolling, which Tua wasn't able to do. And will it shake Tua's confidence? I mean, yeah, I'm not going to lie about that. But I think, you know, Tua's a humble guy, and I think of course he didn't want to be taken out of the game, but it's a learning experience for him. And I think that that doesn't mean that Miami's going to be have a quick leash with Tua. But I think, as a fan, I don't mind the decision. I guess, what are your thoughts on the decision to pull Tua in that fourth quarter and put in Fitzpatrick?
Well, it was a gutsy decision, to say the least. Why would you suddenly pull Tua since he was 11 for 20, 83 yards. Granted, the yardage wasn't really there. His passer rating was 81.9%. I don't get the move. You're trying to develop your quarterback. Give him the opportunity to gain that experience, since you've decided that's the direction you're going to be taking. I don't like this flip-flopping, this, like, flapjack, oh, I'm going to do something today, and I'm going to do something next week. Oh, well, that's not going to work. This is not actually helping the team cohesion whatsoever. Ryan Fitzpatrick had this team going in the right direction, but the organization decided it was tour time. So, no, I don't think this was a good decision. But yet, I don't really blame this on really the quarterback kind of play at all. This was a trap game. Yeah, mm-hmm. Coming into Mile High is a very hard place to play. And they just played old school football. When you look at Melvin Gordon's stats and Philip Lindsay's stats, these guys are averaging over 5 yards per carry. Melvin Gordon finishing with 84 yards and Philip Lindsay finishing with 82 yards. That was the recipe to keep the Dolphins offense off the field. And at the end of the day, it worked. Denver didn't really have any big gains from any of their receivers. If you look at the Miami Dolphins offense, you know, Devante Parker, you know, he does show up every week, it seems. But however, there's not enough offense to help the Miami Dolphins this week. So I would say that this was unfortunately a trap game the Miami Dolphins came into. But I really am starting to question whether or not the organization knows exactly what to do moving forward, considering that they're changing their quarterbacks like flapjacks.
Yeah, completely agree there. I think, you know, the two-system quarterback never works. It'll never work in the NFL. Sometimes it works in college, but, like, I'm not a big fan of it. Like, no matter what league you're playing in, like football, you have one quarterback, you stick with one guy, that's it. The good thing for Miami is they have the Jets this weekend, so hopefully they'll bounce back in that one. Just quickly before we go to commercial break, one last game I'm going to touch on. More like one last team I'm going to isolate was the Eagles-Browns game. So the Browns ended up winning that game by 5-22-17. The Philadelphia Eagles look terrible. Like, every week I keep waiting for Carson Wentz to take a step forward, for him to improve. But he, honestly, I think if he has another bad game this weekend, I think that they put in the rookie Jalen Hurts to start the week after, because Wentz just looks completely lost in this offense, and the Eagles look like, even though they're in right now the lead of the league, they look like one of the worst teams in the NFL right now.
Well, again, I have to agree with you here. Carson Wentz, he just hasn't lived up to his name, to his high draft pick in Philadelphia. This guy obviously, unfortunately, got a lot of injuries. But they drafted Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts is in the background, and he's just itching at the opportunity to play. Granted, Philadelphia is doing the right thing, technically speaking, having him sit out for an entire year. But I'm sure the fans are not really happy with what's going on, seeing that the division is up for grabs. I really blame this more on Doug Peterson and his inability to get Carson Wentz going. He's had multiple opportunities. We understand that Jalen Hurts, but Zach Ertz has been hurt, and that has helped. Really, I should say, hindered the team's offense. But there's no receivers really being involved. I was really expecting Alshon Jeffrey to step up after his injuries, but he only got one target last week, and then he got two targets this week. So the game plan going with these young rookie receivers is not helping Carson Wentz whatsoever. On the flip side of the coin, you look at the Cleveland Browns. Nick Chubb's being back seems to be the obvious way to take this team going forward. I'm not sold on Baker Mayfield. I'm still I'm very highly skeptical. This was the number one pick overall for the Browns, 12 and 22 this week. No touchdowns, no interception. Those stats don't really bring anything to like. Don't I'm not really inspiring, is what I'm trying to say. And at the receiver end, I mean, we have Jarvis Landry, who is either extremely hurt, but how is this guy only getting roughly two targets a game? Again, it makes no sense. The Cleveland Browns are they're off, their offense is just really the running game with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. At least they have that. If it wasn't for that, then we'd be seeing probably a very putrid Brown team.
Totally, very well said on both accounts. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and on the other side, we are going to be taking a look into Week 12, giving you guys our predictions. You are listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.